Now, back to the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, in this segment, we have with us Dawn Pizzaferrato, who's the certified ABC dog trainer for Annabelle's Pet Station in downtown Lansing. Welcome to the show, Dawn.
Hello, Lee. Nice to be here.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Yeah, it's our pleasure to have you here. Dawn, when it comes to training of dogs and animals, we've had lots of different conversations in the studio. We've talked about corrective. We've talked about electronic collars. But you are an advocate of a different approach of training, which is clicker training. And for the people who may not be aware of what clicker training is, can you kind of share with our listeners exactly what it is and how it works?
Surely. Clicker training is a positive reinforcement training method that uses a device, a clicker, to mark a desired behavior. That's basically it.
Okay, so basically what happens is we're all familiar with the concept of Pavlov and his dog, where he would go through and ring a bell and then put out meat paste on the dog's tongue, and the dog learned to respond to the sound of the bell. Is that kind of how clicker training works?
Exactly, except for to expound on that a little bit, the clicker marks a desired behavior, and one of the rules of clicker training is that if you click, you must treat. It's one of the promises we make to our dogs when we start this training. So they soon learn that the sound of the clicker is going to mean that they will get a treat.
Okay.
So that's how it works.
Okay. So I'm a dog, and I do the right action. I hear the click. I get the treat, and I begin to associate the sound of the clicker with the taste of the treat, and I'm going to keep doing that behavior no matter what.
Correct. Okay. One of the things we say in clicker training is not only are the handlers trying to get behaviors from the dog is trying to get us to click. And if you know anything about dogs, they're really good at getting us to do things for them.
Oh, so. I would say that dogs are very proficient at getting us to do things. Let me ask this question. Why does clicker training work? I mean, I know that in some of the training that I've been through, I've learned certain watchwords where watch me is something that they'll teach you in order to get the attention of the dog so that he'll begin following whatever you're doing as opposed to being distracted. Why is the clicker better than using certain keywords such as food or treat? Or watch me, or whatever the things are that people say?
Yes, we often in positive reinforcement training use a marker word, which is yes or good or treat or something like that. The clicker works better than those because it is always the same. There's never any emotional response attached to the name, to the word, to the marker, so that it's always the same. It never changes with your emotions. It doesn't. Your inflections don't change. And dogs who are very apt at our body languages and how we say things, it doesn't confuse them. They understand it every single time what it means.
And is there a place for words in the mix of this? We don't want to be silent owners. So how do we kind of remember, you know, when to use a click and what behaviors do you do that? And when is verbal communication appropriate?
Well, you always need to name the behavior that you're trying to get. So adding the cue, adding the command is part of the training process.
Okay.
So at some point we have to name it so that we know what we want to ask our dog to do. The dog doesn't care about what word we use. They obviously don't understand our language until we teach it to them. But the click actually marks the behavior that you're looking for. Once the behavior is in place and the dog is offering it repeatedly, that's when you start naming it so that you can elicit that behavior from the dog eventually.
Okay.
And the other misconception about clicker training is people often don't like it because they say, I don't want to always have to have treats. I don't always want to have my clicker around. The clicker is really only necessary during the acquisition phase of getting behaviors. Mm-hmm. Once a dog has a behavior on cue, a strong behavior that you can get 9 out of 10 times consistently, you can start immediately weaning off the clicks and the treats. In fact, doing so quickly actually makes the behavior stronger. Because a dog is gambling on when they're going to get the treat, and they don't know when it's going to happen. So they do it every single time, thinking this one might be it.
Ah.
That's really interesting. Don, let me ask you this question, because one of the things that's funny on this show, when we come in from a break, a lot of times we have what's known as our funny liners, and one of them makes fun of people who talk to animals in funny and strange ways, and it mentions how we don't do that on this show. But it's funny because when people do talk to their animals in certain tones, the animals do seem to understand those differences. So is there a benefit to not teaching them those tones, or is there a negative to it? Because what you're saying is clicker training, it's consistent every time, and consistency is good. And yet with my tone, sometimes I'll convey anger, and sometimes I'll convey sadness, and sometimes I'll convey, oh, there's my boy, and that kind of behavior. So help me exactly. So help me understand, is that positive? Is that negative? Am I hurting the training of the dog with the tonal changes, or am I communicating with the animal?
Well, obviously you're communicating with the animal, and there are times that you want your dog to be excited and animated and very interested in you and thinking that you're totally insane and what are you doing, but they're focused on you, right? Mm-hmm. But there are also times when using no words at all and just using a consistent sound, especially when you're trying to get a specific behavior or a specific emotional response from your dog, is better, because there's nothing to muddle the concept of what you're trying to do. There's no voices, there's no talking. I tell my students that our talking to a dog is kind of like the adults in the peanut strips. It's wah, 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 wah. They hear it all the time. And then the clicker is unique. It doesn't sound like any of those things. So it sticks out. It's interesting. And at the same time, the cue, the command that we add to name the behavior that we're getting, I also tell them you need that to be said in a distinct, interesting way to stick out from all the other verbiage they're hearing all day long. So when you tell your dog to sit, I want you to tell your dog to sit, not sit, sit. So they understand that that is something they're supposed to be paying attention to.
Well, so that we can actually get our listening audience kind of paying attention, how about if you give our audience a click?
Sure. That's a click.
All right.
Now, clickers come in different shapes and sizes. Some are loud. This is kind of a medium one. Some are very quiet, because some dogs are a little shyer than others, and the click can sometimes make them react, and we don't want any reaction from them. Some clickers are a ping. They just go ping. Some have little chirps, little birdie sounds and things like that. So they can be any sound as long as it's distinct and unique and consistent.
Now, I have a question for you. How would the clicker work in an outdoor setting where there might be some degree of geographic distance between the clicker and the clicky? Now, I know dogs have much better hearing than human beings do, but is there a geographic limit, or in a situation like at a dog park where the dog might be off leash and a good distance away from you, does clicker training still work in that type of a setting?
It does. You have to be within hearing range for it to work. Obviously, if your dog is across the field, they're not going to hear the clicker. They're not going to probably even be paying attention. Often we use the clicker to end behaviors. So, you know, if we're doing, for example, a recall practice, we will click when the dog actually reaches us so that they understand, oh, this is what I'm supposed to accomplish. I'm supposed to get all the way back to mom, and then I get my click and my treat. So there is a geographic limit to that. And that brings up a good point for deaf dogs as well. Clicker training can still be done for deaf dogs, only we don't use a clicker. We use a light. It's a pen light. So they will get a flash of light when they've done something that we like, and then the treat. So it's the same concept.
That's interesting because that was one of the things that I had heard from people with regard to clicker training was, what about deaf dogs?
Right.
Because there are a number of them that are out there. We're talking this morning with Dawn Pizzaferrato from Annabelle's Pet Station in downtown Lansing. Dawn, let me ask this question. What kind of scientific studies have gone into clicker training and how well it works? Because one of the things that really was interesting to me that I guess makes sense and you never really think about it is, you said of all the training methods, this is probably the one that's the most scientifically challenged. And I guess that makes sense because, again, we're going all the way back to Maslow when it comes to this approach working. I mean, and that's more than 100 years ago that he got the Nobel Prize for his work with this dog.
Sure. It has been studied extensively. It's Karen Pryor is probably one of the scientists who studied it the most, and she writes extensively on clicker training for all types of animals. And in fact, it's probably the most used training method because it's used extensively in zoos, aquariums, animal parks, Hollywood performance dogs, in animals that aren't our dogs, but are wild animals in which you cannot do corrective training with. You have to do positive reinforcement because the animals have to get a payday at the end, and it would be inappropriate to try to correct a tiger in its cage, and quite dangerous, frankly. So they've started using clicker training in these environments and have used it extensively for many, many years. And it's finally kind of boiled over into the pet dog arena for training and is finally catching on. And you see a lot more of traditional trainers moving over to clicker trainers than you see vice versa. You see a lot of the movement towards the clicker and the positive reinforcement, and you don't see a lot of the movement back the other way. So that tells me that this is the future of dog training.
Interesting. Rick, we're going to hold Dawn over the break, and we're going to continue our conversation after the break talking about clicker training and, frankly, comparing it and contrasting it to some of the other methods of training that we've talked about here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS. I must